calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We pray that you are got plans in place to worship in the house of the Lord this Sunday, which is Resurrection Sunday. And so we want to thank you for tuning in. You can catch this program three times a day. It's on WMIE 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening. WWBC 1510 AM. And then there's some frequencies that have stronger signals over on the FM dial. There's a frequency for the south, a frequency for the central part of the county, and a frequency for the northern part of the county that you can also find that on the FM dial. But I'll tell you, it sounds better on the FM dial. It's a clearer signal. That's at 10:30 of a morning. And if you miss any of those broadcasts, you can always go get the podcast version or listen on demand, through the WMIEFM.com, website. Just type in what day you're looking for and you can go back and listen to that. I do that from time to time. Believe it or not, I go back and will listen to my own radio program. So that's various ways that you and I can listen. So today we want to say thank you for tuning in. And tomorrow, just to let you know, there will be a broadcast that takes place that is a pre-recorded one that we do every year on Good Friday. And so I pray that you will tune in and remind yourself of the great love on display of Jesus that was necessary to purchase your salvation and my salvation. So anytime I start to get a little grumbly, that happens. Getting a wrong mindset. I like to go back and watch The Passion of the Christ, which is pretty graphic, but it's actually not as graphic as what actually took place. And so it reminds me, it helps put me back in perspective and say, you know what, you don't have nearly as much to complain about as what you think you do. Makes me regain that heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. And so anyway, with that being said, Sunday morning, 10:30, we are going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Savior at Merritt Assembly of God, and want to invite you out to those services. This is your personal invitation from Pastor Bob to join us and celebrate our King. Today we are going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. I'm only going to read a couple of verses, 13, 14, and 15. Because I don't think we're going to get through all of that today. It says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That is our key verse right there. That's the verse that we're working towards. We're just establishing the context of that, before we get there. So on yesterday's program, we had talked about watching, which is an imperative, and standing fast in the faith, which is an imperative. And our next one is also an imperative, as is the one after that. So Everything in verse number 13 is a command from God. A lot of people in contemporary faith want to treat their relationship with God as if it is not really all that vital or all that important. But if they would understand that there are many mandates, there are mandatory behaviors that are prescribed for believers. So, like we talked about yesterday, you're supposed to watch, you're supposed to be alert, you're supposed to stay awake, you're supposed to stand firm in your faith, even during difficult seasons. Do not surrender any spiritual ground to the enemy. Do not let off of the gas. Stand firm in the faith for your family. Stand firm in your faith, even when the economy is not doing as well as it should be doing or could have been doing. There are a lot of people who put their faith in dollars, and dollars won't save you. But even in the day of economic calamity, Jesus remains King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Stand fast in your faith. The next imperative that we're going to look at is this: be brave. Be brave. This is a state of being. This is a word. It means to act courageously. And so the first time that you really hear anything about a person who is required to act courageously, although one of my heroes when it comes to acting courageously goes all the way back to Abraham, when Lot is living in Sodom. And Sodom gets attacked by a group of kings. And even though Sodom was allied with other kings in the region, they were defeated and they were carried off captive. The mistake that the attacking armies made was they took Lot captive. And Lot happened to have an uncle whose name was Abraham. And Abraham took his 318 men, and they went against, I think it was a group of five kings, if I'm not mistaken. If I am mistaken, it was still a group of kings who had just been victorious defeating other kings. And Abraham, with his 318 men, ended up conquering those kings and delivering Lot, encountering the king of Jerusalem by the name of Melchizedek. And that's where we first get exposed to the principle of tithing and blessing because of what God's done. The king of Lot said, or the king of Sodom said, "Hey, you keep everything. You just let us have the people." And Abraham said, "No, I don't want you being able to take any credit for what I have done." So, the other person that we talk about, is in Joshua chapter 1, where in verse number 6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded." Verse number 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." One of the things that I was very adamant about in raising my children was I wanted them to understand the biblical truth that you do not want lying to be an active part in your life, because the Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And I did not want my children becoming addicted to lying. And so if they lied, that was automatically an elevation right to the maximum threshold of punishment that we had for our children in that day. But if you look in the scriptures, you will find that not only is lying disapproved of, but also being cowardly was. They received the same judgment, the same decision, the same removal from the presence of God for being cowardly as those who lied. You and I, because Jesus lives inside of our heart, we're not supposed to live in fear of failure or in fear of the enemy that stands before us. Instead, we, because of the fact that we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living inside of us, we have the right, the authority, and the responsibility to be brave and stand in faith. You say, where in the world do you see that in the scripture? Okay, I'm so glad you asked. It's in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 6, where it is said, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That is a group that you do not want to be a part of. Okay? And so you and I, we can hear sermons all day long. You can hear sermons about not being a liar, but telling the truth. You can hear about that you do not want to have any gods before God, that he needs to be the first and the preeminent in your life, that you should have no idols and greed is idolatry. You hear sermons about that. You hear sermons that you do not want to be a participant in people who are communicating with the spiritual forces of darkness and trying to manipulate their way through the spiritual instead of being obedient to the things of God. So we don't want to have anything to do with that. By the way, if you think that that all of that is just fun and games, I want you to know it's not. You do not want to be partaking of the horoscope. I call it the horoscope. You don't want the devil dictating what you are going to do today. God, the devil didn't create today. God did. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You don't want people telling you how to live your life because of the zodiac sign that you were born under or anything like that. Recently, there was a story of some 24 girls that had participated in a Ouija board type activity, and all of them ended up passing out, having to go to the hospital. And I will tell you this, whenever you expose yourself spiritually to the enemy, there's not going to be a medical solution. There's not going to be a financial solution. It's not going to be influence that gets you. The only thing that can deliver you from a spiritual problem is a spiritual deliverance. And thank God that Jesus makes that possible. Now, you used to hear lots of sermons about people being sexually immoral. Now, in our day and time, it is something that society is not only not rejecting, they're actually encouraging. It is considered to be normal. It's not only considered normal in the culture of the world. If we're not careful, it can become normal in the culture of the church. I want you to go back and read Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, because you will see that even in the last book of the Bible, which God says is a blessing for people to be able to read, sexual immorality is not tolerated. It's not encouraged. It is condemned. It is not something that you want in your life. You don't want to be going around and having sexual relations with people that are not your spouse. And by that, I mean the marriage covenant that God created is one man, one woman. You say, well, what about all those people with multiple wives in the early stages of human development? I will tell you this, that God's revelation to mankind has always been a progressive relationship, not because God and his standard had changed, but because men had to grow to the place where they were able to handle the next level of revelation that God had. Again, God hadn't changed. It was what could man tolerate? So the scripture would say, I have much to say to you at this point, but you cannot handle it at this point in time. And so the New Testament standard is the husband of one wife. Okay? And I can tell you this, one is enough. One is enough. I don't care, you know, what society tells you about their new standard of sexual normalcy, but God still is the one who defines what is moral and what is immoral. People have no problem with understanding that murderers, that's not good. Okay. You don't want to be grouped with that. And so murderers who have not repented, they are going to be removed from God's presence. The unbelieving, a lot of people say, well, what if they don't believe like you do, but, you know, they're sincere in their belief system. I can tell you when I was in high school, I worked on a trigonometry problem and worked on it over and over and over again. I finally went to the teacher and I said, I think I found an error in the textbook because I've had other people look at this problem. They don't see anything wrong with my solution. And she looked at it for about 1.5 seconds and said 9 times 7 is 63, not 56. Go back and fix your problem. I sincerely believed I was right, and I was sincere in believing that, but I was sincerely wrong. You and I can't be unbelieving. Another group that is mentioned in there is that which is abominable, and that word means that it is incompatible, it is inconsistent with the nature of God to the point that it will not be able to withstand the presence of God. And so there are a lot of people who believe that because they loved somebody, that person is going to heaven, whether or not they had an acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether they lived a life that was pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. All of these people are, you know, grouped together as going to be removed from the presence of God and have their part in the lake of fire. And right there, the first one mentioned on the list is the cowardly. The cowardly. You know, they don't make superhero movies about people who refuse to get involved. They make movies about people who do exceptional things, courageous things. You find news stories written about people who, even though they're famous, even though they're rich, when they saw a person in a car that was on fire, they set all of that aside to go in there to get that person removed from their seatbelt and removed from their vehicle before it catches on fire. That is a bold action. You find stories of boldness that are inspirational a lot of times in a military mindset. I want to ask you, when was the last time that you heard somebody say, I am going to be brave. I am going to act courageously on behalf of my King, on behalf of my Lord, on behalf of my Savior. It is imperative. It is imperative. Rise up in boldness. Be courageous to lead your family into a new dimension of faith that is beyond anything that they have experienced before. Be bold in your faith. It is imperative. So, you know, I had a phrase that was dropped in my spirit, and that is, we need to have dangerous faith. Not that we act in a reckless manner, but that when faith arises in our heart and we are standing firm in that faith, that faith results in us taking bold actions that the enemy would not expect. So what is your level of bravery? The next phrase, and you know, we're just really moving quickly through verse number 13, is it says, be strong, be strong. The world has this understanding that Christians are weak. The Bible talks about the meek shall inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness. That's not a Bob Arthur's original statement. It's something that I've heard, and I like it. The term meekness is actually a word that means that there is great strength that is operating under control. And so you and I, we are not supposed to be the doormats of society. We are not supposed to be doormats of the devil. We are supposed to be men and women and boys and girls of great strength. Men, you do not need to relegate the responsibility for spiritual strength to the women of the house. Let them see that you are a person, a man of spiritual strength. Now, here's the thing about strength. If you go to the gym, you've got to be able to use the muscular strength that you have, use it to the point that you have gone beyond anything you've gone before. Then you've got to allow time for those muscles to heal. And then you go back and you do that again, and you do that again, and you repeat that cycle. You use strength and you rest. You use strength and you rest. And before you know it, you are able to lift or mobilize the strength, the weight of obstacle that is in front of you. And pretty soon you're able to achieve more than you were before because you have become stronger. And so that's what this, it means to be strong. It also means to become strong or to strengthen. Now, there's no spiritual gym that you can go to, but I can tell you this, your strength and my strength, it doesn't come from, you know, a fitness center. It comes from the fact that the Almighty God resides inside of us. And that because our life is intertwined with His and united with His strength enables us to have a being or a becoming stronger than we could have ever become on our own. And that's a reality. There is a person of strength, of spiritual fortitude, dwelling inside of you that wants to emerge in your life so that you can become everything that God wants you to be. I have a goal to get in better physical shape than what I've been. I don't want to be the person that pain is dictating my life. I want strength to be dictating my life. I want flexibility to be dictating my life. So there's a plan in place for me to achieve that in the physical, When is the last time you put a plan in place for you to get stronger? I tell you, it will not happen on your own, but it will happen when you gather together with the other believers, and together you and I provoke one another to good works. And in doing so, we are going to become stronger in our awareness of who God is and what God is able to do in us and through us, so that it will manifest in our life of being brave. So one of my daughters got married a couple of years ago. And I don't remember exactly where these weights came from, but I had this set of weights, and my son-in-law is a fitness guy. He's also a youth pastor. He's pretty shredded. He's pretty ripped. And because of their budget, he was not going to be able to go and join a gym. And so I said, hey, you know what? I've got those weights out there. I'm probably not going to be using those as much as you would. Would you like them? And if you do, here, dude, they're yours. And so he said, I would like that very much. And so he has a place set up in their house where he goes and he works out. And when he works out, he takes my grandson out there, who is very, very young, but he's got his eyes on dad, and he sees that his dad is very strong. And when my son-in-law steps away from the weights, my grandson walks over to the weights. And, you know, my son-in-law, his numbers are in the hundreds, not the tens, like mine would be. He had like over 200 pounds on the bar, and they took a video of my grandson and said, I've got my eyes on dad, and my dad is strong. And my grandson walks over to the bar of weights, and he's got good form, but he's trying to move those weights, and he could roll them and pull them, you know, on the ground. He couldn't lift them or anything like that. But he said, you know what? I may not be strong right now, but I don't want to stay weak. The resurrection is the strength of God on display in the life of Jesus. In 2023, let's modernize the manifestation of the strength of God, not just in the church's life, but in your life. I pray today that you will set an objective, say, God, I'm going to become strong in the Lord, and I'm going to be brave because you make me brave. God bless you. You have a great Easter Sunday. We'll see you at church on Sunday or here Monday on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
So Lord.